Paramahamsa Parivijakacharya Astitana Satasthi Srimad. His Divine Grace is the Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda ki Sri Sri Kishore Kishore ki Samveda Bhakta Vrinda ki Nitai Gaur Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. In different centers, in different parts of the world, not all over the world, but in different centers around. The recent departure of two very, very wonderful, saintly exalted Vaishnavas is being honored on Janmashtami Day. Many of you don't know Sankirtan Prabhu, but I'm going to describe a little bit about him. In Switzerland, where he grew up and where he became introduced to Krishna consciousness, he left his body Janmashtami morning, surrounded by kirtan and many wonderful devotees. I had his association primarily in China. I'm going to read a little bit about his life, at least appreciation, especially appreciation of those who had his association. And there are extra copies. I think especially Sankirtan Prabhu, his life, it'll be nice for you to take some time and read through these pages. He was a sannyas candidate, a disciple of Lokanath Maharaj. The first time I met him was we had some gatherings, all the Chinese devotees, and they call the overseas devotees, the visiting preachers. Met in Hong Kong, and we had some planning sessions and so forth. So I met him there, and over a course of time, I got to know him through our common visits to China. We would discuss different things. And he spent about, at least during the time that I had his association, he spent 6 months of each year in mainland China or in Taiwan. Sometimes he was in Taiwan. The rest of the year in Europe teaching or in Vrindavan teaching. One of the things that we collaborated together was he taught Dasamula. For those of you that don't know, that's Bhaktivinoda Thakur's summarization of Lord Chaitanya's teachings. 10 essential teachings. Dasa. Mula means root. Dasa means 10. In the many, many books that Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote, he described Lord Chaitanya's teachings in that terminology. If you've read his books, or sometime you will read his books, you'll become familiar. He just lists them. Like, for example, in the very year that Srila Prabhupada was born was 1896, and that same year is the year that Bhaktivinoda Thakur sent around the world Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his life and precepts. So half the book is kind of a summary of Lord Chaitanya's life, And then the other half was Dasamula, his precepts, his teachings. And consistent was a theme throughout his writings. So because I had done an extensive study on that subject maybe 20 years ago and presented it at the VIHE, and then some number of years later, 18 years later, Sankirtan Prabhu had researched and studied. So he was asking me questions. I was like, this little authority on Dasamula Tattva. I sent him my study material. He wanted to know why I hadn't written a book. So I said, I'm too busy taking care of problems to write a book. Maybe someday. Maybe in his memory I'll do that. That would be nice. It's very, very wonderful. So in this way we had association, and it wasn't so frequent, but the little association I had, he's an amazing devotee. He learned Chinese. And if you want to sign up for a course in learning Chinese, better have a lot of time to invest because it's very complex. Most people will tell you, forget it, it's too complex. Take you 10 years, but he learned. He still engaged a translator, but when the translator made mistakes, he would correct them. He was that knowledgeable in Chinese language and very much loved by everybody. At a certain point in time, he was diagnosed as having cancer. So kind of went off the grid and tried this natural and that natural and the other thing and the other thing and the other thing. And it stretched it out for a while, but he became thinner and thinner. And then he tried some other things. And finally he was in too much pain. So he just let go. He drank water so his body wouldn't get dehydrated, but he just like let go of his life and went back to Switzerland where he had a good situation of care and left his body there. So in the handout that you have, it's front and back, there's a number of different devotees who wrote something. Lokanath Maharaj is his spiritual master, so in Noida, which is where a nice temple was built, in kind of like Lokanath Maharaj's hometown or his area where he grew up, they're having a major festival in his honor, and so also in Beijing and Hong Kong. And so they sent some photos and some texts. So I'm not going to take the time to read the text. I invite you to read the texts and just meditate on what a sannyas candidate's life might look like if you're born in Switzerland, you spent half your days in China. At the top of the stapled part is Giridhari Swami. I knew Giridhari Swami during the Radha Damodar days. He was one of the bus drivers. And later he became a GBC. And then a sannyasi and a guru. And Giridhari Swami, he established the temple in Hong Kong. It's an ISKCON registered organization. And the funds for the temple were personally raised by Giridhari Swami. It's a brilliant setup because in Hong Kong things are more expensive than most places. So they had to be very careful with the use of space. The temple room served as a Govindas. They, you know, closed the curtain and pulled out this and that tables from underneath the sitting places, and then they had tables and they put the tables away, and there was a temple room, and next immediately The adjacent space was a yoga studio. They still have yoga classes there. The restaurant doesn't take place anymore. Anyway, he raised all the money and built the thing. A very brilliant and qualified preacher, Giridhari Swami. So he, Giridhari Swami, was with Tamal Krishna Maharaj when Prabhupada dismantled the Radha Damodar party because it was too disruptive for different reasons, and he sent Tamal Krishna Maharaj to China, and so Giridhari Swami was with him, and that's Sankirtan Prabhu standing here next to Tamal Krishna Maharaj. He was, you know, very closely associated with him from very early. So I'm just going to read and show a little bit of some of the pictures of Sankirtan Prabhu. As reforms took place, so this is Giridhari Swami writing about Sankirtan. As reforms took place in the former Soviet Union in the late 1980s, Kirti Raj Prabhu, who was GBC at the time, encouraged Tamal Krishna Goswami and I to venture into mainland China. China was just beginning to open its doors to foreign tourists in 1988, and he told us to strike when the iron is hot. Bring the brilliant preaching strategist that he was, Tamal Krishna Maharaj made a plan. It was simple, but very effective. We would enter China on tourist visas, garbed in civilian dress, then change into devotional clothing and chant in the parks, which in those days were visited by many thousands of people. There were just four of us on that original party: Tamal Krishna Goswami, Ekachakra Prabhu, a young bhakta, Stefan, that became Sankirtan, and myself. When that historic day came in spring of 1988, we spread out our mat on the grass of a large park in the middle of Shanghai, took up the Mardangan cartels, and started a kirtan, unsure of what would happen next. Of course, getting arrested and being thrown out of the country was high on the list. Amazingly, perhaps out of curiosity more than anything else, one person stood nearby watching and listening. Then 5, 10, 20, 50, and finally 200 people gathered around us. Goswami Maharaj then turned to me and whispered, "What do we do now?" I told him to give an extemporaneous talk, those talks he was so expert at. Through our translator, Ekachakra Prabhu — Ekachakra, by the way, is French, and he also had learned Chinese — who had quite a good command of Chinese, Goswami Maharaj explained our basic philosophy in a simple way that all could understand. As many nodded their heads in approval, he explained that we were practitioners of yoga, and that, quote, mantra yoga was the essence of that practice. Then he came up with a creative way to distribute books. He taught everyone the Maha Mantra and then told them to compete for a prize by chanting loudly. The loudest chanter would win the prize. And they really chanted loudly with lots of enthusiasm. The loudest chanter was chosen. The gist, of course, was one of Srila Prabhupada's books in Chinese. This is where I first saw young Bhakta Stefan spring into action. He fearlessly grabbed the book and offered it to that enthusiastic chanter. The problem was, as the winner reached forward to grab his book, 200 other hands reached for it at the same time and tore it to pieces. Bhakta Stefan was unfazed, even though he was almost mobbed, and somehow or other he was able to get a book to the person who earned it, and later into the hands of many others that followed. Fearlessly, then, was one of Sankirtan Prabhu's most outstanding qualities. In the 30 years that followed, he fearlessly traveled throughout China, Taiwan, and Hong Kong to distribute the holy name in Srila Prabhupada's books in cities, towns, and villages too numerous to count. He was a genuine soldier in Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan army. As Nrisingha Maharaj has nicely pointed out, so Nrisingha Maharaj is another Prabhupada disciple, sannyasi. He's from Scotland, and he also speaks Chinese fluently and travels, and he has lots of association with Sankirtan Prabhu, and his comments are also in this stack of papers. Sankirtan Prabhu had a keen desire to preach and was always thinking of innovative ways to deliver the message of Krishna consciousness to everyone he met. He even taught himself to play accordion, this one, and would often be out on the streets chanting by himself if there was no one else to come with him. He had such determination. He was learned in Shastra, and he loved to teach it. That he did throughout China. By the way, one of the things that he came up with was he wanted to be... There's no temples in China, and there's no systematic study in China, so he volunteered. He and one other devotee would create a Bhakti Shastri course for the Chinese devotees, and he would spend a month here and a month there and a month there, and training the devotees, always out in front, thinking of newer and better ways to give Krishna consciousness. But he was never proud about his ability to teach. He just saw that as another service. His writing projects, there's some photos, I don't think they're here, about his books. Did you see? Are they here? You didn't include it. Huh? Okay. He wrote some books. He wanted to make Krishna consciousness accessible to those who were less likely to be directly attracted. And he hit his mark. I have seen many persons come to Krishna consciousness just by reading his books. This is quite remarkable when you think about it. Sankirtan Prabhu was always humble and austere. He could live anywhere and speak to anyone about Krishna consciousness. These qualities especially endeared him to the devotees in this part of the world. My last meeting with Sankirtan Prabhu was when I visited him in a Beijing hospital where he was receiving a type of alternative treatment for his cancer. At that point, it seemed as though the treatment was working. As he described the treatment to me, I understood it was extremely painful for him to endure, yet he tolerated that pain all with the desire to restore his health for continued service to Srila Prabhupada's ISKCON. But the amazing thing was that even in the hospital he was preaching, in fact, when I entered the hospital, I saw a large banner that had been placed high on the wall above welcoming the monk, Sankirtan Das. When I entered the room, he had a large stack of Srila Prabhupada's books and those he had written based on Srila Prabhupada's teaching displayed prominently on a table. He ended up distributing many of these books to patients and staff. We openly spoke about the possibility that the treatment might not work. He was fully prepared if it didn't. His plan was to try to recover as long as things were working, and when it was clear they weren't, he was prepared to leave this world. Sankirtan Prabhu left the world the way he lived in it. He loved Srila Prabhupada. He loved his diksha and shiksha gurus, and he loved the devotees. This love was reflected in the way he practiced sadhana, the way he preached, and the way in which he was prepared to do any service asked of him. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada and Lord Krishna kindly gave Sankirtan Prabhu shelter on the most holy and auspicious Janmashtami day, a most befitting reward for all his many years of selfless service, and so on. Lively, friendly, very compassionate. I mean, You see from the photos, he's almost always smiling. Then, so you can, at your leisure, you can read through these descriptions of Sankirtan Prabhu from other devotees. Many of them are anecdotal. Because he's a disciple of Lokanath Maharaj, he spent time with Padigatra in different continents. He went to South Africa. He's very adventurous. One of the things that he did outside of China was he took yoga practitioners. He started this whole thing. Now it's like a regular thing that he would gather 60 people and take them to Tibet, because Buddhism is in Tibet and Buddhism is very popular in India. Then he would take them to Rishikesh, and then he would take them to Vrindavan and Mayapur and Puri. And in other words, introduce them to Krishna consciousness in a way that was very comfortable for them. Through his mouth. He had cancer, and he had tried to work on his cancer treatment. I mean, but literally, it was said, before he left his body, he was resting. He opened his eyes, looked up at the ceiling, his mouth opened, and he breathed his last. There was a picture of Krishna on the ceiling. Yes. I couldn't hear. It's considered auspicious. There's other openings in the body that are considered inauspicious. Yeah. I'm assuming that none of you knew Sankirtan Prabhu. He would have made a fantastic sannyasi. He was living the life of sannyas anyway. But in addition to Sankirtan Prabhu, very recently, Mother Kalini. Did any of you had met Mother Kalini? Okay. She also left her body recently. I had, because she stayed primarily in Gitanagari for years and years and years and years and years, I had her association on a regular basis. She was the president in Gitanagari when there wasn't anybody around ready to be president, so she was like place marker president for a while. Then others came along to take that responsibility. In the photograph, there's Srila Prabhupada, of course, and there's Mother Kalini in the green sari, and holding her hand is her son Rama. Some of the brahmacharis you may know, Keshava Bharati Maharaj. And Keshava Bharati Maharaj was at some point in his life married to Mother Kalini. And there's a little description here. There's a lot of photos of Mother Kalini. This is Varsana Maharaj, I believe, and Dhanadhar Maharaj, and you know, a festival, some occasion in Gitanagari. Very fond of taking care of the cows. Cowlini. And not, this is Pancharatna Prabhu's wife, who lives in Mayapur with her husband, so they, you know, but sometimes came to the US. She's doing the little ceremony with the child reaching for the book. With some of the devotees in Gita Nagari, pictured here. She also was diagnosed with cancer, did some chemotherapy treatments, and it helped a bit, but you know, cancer condition came again, and at a certain point, her liver functions just stopped, and it was extremely painful for her. She asked to go to Gita Nagari. She was taken to Gita Nagari. She wanted to leave her body in the presence of the cows. So the day that she left, she in the room that she was staying, there were cows. Because, you know, she was caring for the cows and the cows were caring for her. They loved her and she loved them. And with the devotees having kirtan with cows in the room. That's Mother Kalini. Here's a little description of... So after her health started going down and down and down, she moved to upstate New York near Albany. And she was being cared for by one of Satsrup Maharaj's disciples, Sachisutta. Because Sachisutta, when he was younger, he lived in Gita Nagari, looking after the farm. He has an interest in agriculture. So Mother Kalini was his temple president, and you know, they cared for each other very, very much. So when she became infirm, Sachisutta just bought a house for her and put her in the house. So she would have a place to stay as an elder Vaishnavi without someone to care for her. He did that. Here's a little description. Kalini Devi Dasi, a beloved disciple of Srila Prabhupada, departed from this world in Gita Nagari Dham last Thursday morning, September 3 to 20 a.m. She joined ISKCON with her then husband, now Keshava Bharati Maharaj, in 1972 and gave birth to their son Rama shortly after. Mother Kalini, as she is affectionately known, was recognized by her qualities as a genuine living saint. One such ornament that outstandingly decorated her was simplicity. Her dear friend, Sodhamini, recently recalled an instance from their first meeting to illustrate this. Around 1974 or so, Mother Kalini and her son stayed in Gita Nagari while her husband was assigned to a mission of service elsewhere. He was also very close to Tamal Krishna Maharaj, and Tamal Krishna Maharaj had asked for his assistance, so he went to assist. When Sudhamini befriended her there and inquired about the duration of her stay, Mother Kalini replied, "I'm not sure. Whenever my husband comes to pick me up." In time, Mother Kalini learned her husband wasn't coming back. He was taking sannyas, Tamal Krishna Maharaj. But she never complained. She simply continued to live and serve in Gita Nagari with exemplary devotion, sacrifice, and humility for nearly 35 years. And the author, Giri Govardhan, is another devotee that lives in upstate New York, said, Mother Kalini told me she wasn't disturbed by the separation because she was just so happy to be in Gita Nagari. That's what she really wanted most. Mother Kalini was pure-hearted, peaceful-minded, and satisfied. When Satsrup Maharaj stayed in Gita Nagari and used to take morning walks with disciples, Mother Kalini would join them. She heard all of the devotees speaking to him about their problems. Finally, one day on the morning walk, she innocently asked, Maharaj, is it okay to not have any problems? And then Sachisuta is the householder who bought the house for her to put her up, said she really didn't have any problems. Devotion and humility came natural to her. She personified it. And that's why so many people loved her. Those qualities are truly attractive, and that's why she attracted the admiration of so many people. It wasn't just people who were attracted to Mother Kalini, but animals too. A saint is a friend to all living beings, and all living beings are friendly to the saint. Mother Kalini loved the animals, and all the animals loved her. For years, she milked the cows in Giranagari twice a day. She loved the cows. And there was one cow with whom she had an especially affectionate bond, Vishakha. Vishakha gave milk for years after she was bred. You know, what that means is during the lactation of the mother, milk is supplied. But even when the calf was born, and for years and years and years and years, Vishakha continued to supply milk. Rabindrasrup Prabhu said, for 12 to 14 years that cow kept giving milk because Mother Kalini was her calf. She loved Mother Kalini as much as Mother Kalini loved her. There was a relationship. It wasn't just to the cows, but to all animals that Mother Kalini would extend her maternal nurturing very attentively. She would give fresh milk to the barn cats at milking time and put out leftover prasadam for the peacocks. Damodar Das, a devotee from Boston, used to visit Giranagari every week, and at Mother Kalini's request, every week for months, he would drive back with a box full of kittens that she wanted him to find good homes for. Mother Kalini personified this unconditional love and compassion for all without exception, even the flowers and vegetables. Krishna Kumari, another Mataji that lives in upstate in Stuyvesant Falls, had the privilege of cooking with her and witnessed her concern for the use of all ingredients. If they were making samosas and a little bit of mashed potato and peas were left sticking to the bowl, in the end, Mother Kalini would take care they didn't get left behind and say, imagine being that pea that didn't get offered to Krishna. Or if there was an excess of picked flowers remaining after decorating the deities, she would insist that somehow or other every single one found a place on the altar. It was more than a consideration of waste. It was her compassion to give everyone and everything opportunity to be engaged in devotional service. This is because Mother Kalini saw everyone and everything in relation to Krishna. Remember our Bhagavatam class yesterday? She was a pure devotee. No doubt about it. She lit up with appreciation for the simplest things, seeing the beauty and joy in them. Similarly, she appreciated the sincerity in everyone. Holding that vision, she overflowed with love for others. Feeling that love and being seen in that light of Mother Kalini's vision, anyone who knew her loved her very deeply. She was a beacon of encouragement and inspiration. One of the striking ways she evidenced this was in her relationships with families, husbands, wives, and children. She performed the marriage ceremonies for many couples and the grain ceremonies for all of their children. Even long after doing so, she held a significant place in the hearts and families, it should be, far beyond the range of a priest ordinarily would. She was a spiritual mother and a grandmother to dozens of spiritual children and grandchildren. One family that Mother Kalini was particularly close with was that of Sachisuta Das Kaylee Lalita Devi Dasi and their three children. In 2008, when Mother Kalini's health had become frail, they lovingly insisted that she come and live under their care in upstate New York. They purchased a house for her next to theirs, where they could serve her and look after her medical needs, etc. While living there for the past 7 years, she fully participated as a member of their family, celebrating every holiday with them and attending every athletic game, school event, birthday, etc. of the children, even keeping score. The family is very athletic, by the way. Super. She took such genuine interest and joy in each of their lives. Though seemingly simple and ordinary ways of being grandmotherly toward the children, Mother Kalini indelibly endeared herself in their hearts. Through tears and laughter, Subhadra Priya, the second daughter of the family, described one incident that created a memorable impression of Mother Kalini's presence in her life that she will so much miss. One day, the kids expressed their disappointment to Mother Kalini that their mother wouldn't allow them to drink Gatorade because of the food coloring in it. The next day, when they were with Mother Kalini in her house, she opened the refrigerator, revealing cases of Gatorade. Now you don't have to worry. Whenever you want Gatorade, you can just come over here. And they did. Radhanath Maharaj. No, so this, after she left her body, which was just before Janmashtami, for Vyasa Puja Day, it just so happened, by providential arrangement, that Radhanath Swami was there, Rabindra Sarup Prabhu and his wife went, Jayadvaita Maharaj was also there, a whole host of people were present to honor Mother Kalini. And this coming weekend, there's going to be another memorial for Mother Kalini in Gita Nagari. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people from all over the place. Radhanath Swami. She personified compassion in the core of her heart. She has such deep-rooted connection, faith, and loyalty to the traditions of Parampara and Krishna consciousness. Yet we're hearing that she could extend herself in such beautiful ways to bring others closer to Krishna and keep them close to Krishna. Glorifying Mother Kalini wouldn't be complete without highlighting that she was completely devoid of the propensity to criticize others. Those who knew her intimately have attested in various ways that they never heard her say anything bad about anyone. Moreover, if she heard someone complaining about another, she would gently turn the subject or present another angle of vision from which to view the same behavior in a compassionate light. Kirtan Rasa, he's a criminal lawyer by profession, now a judge. He's like, you know, hard noser. Kirtan Rasa, he lives in that same upstate area in Saratoga Springs, recalls one such instance when someone was harassing the devotees at Gita Nagari to the point that they even took legal action. But when he and others were angry, wanting to curb this person, Mother Kalini's only comment was, imagine what pain this person must be feeling to act this way. Another time, Rabindra's wife, Sudamini, asked her for a reference in regard to a young woman who wanted to move into the Philadelphia temple and had previously been in Gita Nagari. Mother Kalini simply said, I can only suggest that you give her her own room. As it turned out, the woman was mentally ill with a history of violent episodes. But it was not anywhere within Mother Kalini's being to speak anything bad about anyone. Just give her her own room. Beyond all this, Mother Kalini was crowned by humility. She never sought any attention or recognition for herself in return for her service, which was abundant. She was incredibly hardworking and dedicated. Whatever needed to be done, menial or not, she would do it quietly, conscientiously, and joyfully. She served because she loved Srila Prabhupada, Radha Damodar, the cows, all the animals, and the devotees. She cooked, dressed the deities, milked the cows, bought the boga, took out the garbage, cleaned, and even managed the farm and temple when there was no one else to do it. Jayadvaita Swami noted that there was a crucial point in the history of Gitanagari, that it was Mother Kalini's small, humble service that kept the place together at that very critical time. Sachi Sutta moved to Gitanagari during that period in the late 80s, when it was on the verge of collapse after formerly thriving. He remembers the feeling that the farm was functioning under Mother Kalini's Shakti. He didn't know her well then, yet, but he could see and feel that she had that presence. A little bit more. Though Mother Kalini never sought attention for her service, Prabhupada and Radha Damodar surely noticed and reciprocated. After a long, successful battle with cancer, she developed kidney failure and decided to return to Gitanagari, the home where her heart was, to leave her body. Her final days there exemplified an ideal completion of a life gloriously lived. Those who love her came to be with her, even Radha Damodar. They left their altar and went to see her in the cabin where she stayed on her deathbed. One of the oxen paid her a visit too. A huge ox walked right into her room to tenderly greet her. And she was surrounded by loving devotees. Those who could not come to be present with her physically poured out their affection, gratitude, and support to her in letters. Her passage into Krishna's embrace was held in the prayers of devotees near and far as they accompanied her departure with the chanting of the holy name. Okay, so I'll let you read the rest of this. Again, it's anecdotes of people that lived with Mother Kalini or had some interaction with her. I think it's okay to say this, that Ravindra Sarup Prabhu told me, because he was the GBC in Gitanagari for some period of time, and there was a point in time when Keshava Bharati Maharaj had some spiritual difficulty in Israel, and he changed from sannyas attire to brahmachari attire, and Mother Kalini confided in Rabindra, "Does this mean we have to get back together? I'm happy just being like this." And Rabindra said, "No, that's okay. I'm sure it's okay. You can stay like this." Her son, Rama, lives in California. He became... Does anybody here know what his occupation is? Huh? Police officer. I thought so. He had kind of like a Kshatriya spirit. He was with the military for a while and then became a police officer or something like that. And just police officer straight away. Is he the one that was like the security guard for... You don't know. Some VIP. He was like secret service kind of security guard, Ramachandra. Anyway, she had great affection for her son and vice versa. And would you like to speak something about Mother Kalini? You had an association with her a little? Is that okay? Just some? Do we have a microphone, portable? Okay.
I met Mother Kalini for the first time in 2001 when I was assisting Maharaj in doing Gitanagari service. My service was to find accommodation for devotees on the farm. What struck me the most was she is a very patient and like how Maharaj was reading, she never had anything bad to say about anybody. And I was this new bhaktin who would get excited about everything and frustrated because devotees keep changing their plans. So one year, the retreat was about to start, and there was a heavy shower, like rains, and there were some leaks in the rooms, and we were having real problem. We were putting buckets so that the water can get collected. And she was just not disturbed. So I gave my room to somebody else so that they can live comfortably, and I didn't have a room, so I decided to sleep in the Prasadam hall. And she very gracefully said, "I have a very small room, you can come and be in my room. We both can share the space." And I said, "No, that's fine." I was a little nervous just knowing who she is to share the space, but she did. She insisted that I should be with her in her room. It was a very sweet and very experience. One of the things she asked me, what inspires me like in Krishna consciousness, and I said serving devotees, and I said one of my heroes is Jain and the Prabhu. And she said, "Oh, I know him. When I was in California, Prabhupada had come, and at that time they didn't have a quarters for Prabhupada. So Prabhupada stayed in the quarters where the grihasthas were staying. So Jain and the Prabhu also moved in because Prabhupada was staying there. And after Prabhupada left, she realized that in her bathroom there was a gamcha. And then she thought it was Prabhupada's gamcha. And so she very quickly, you know, took it and hid it because it was Maha. But later, after a couple of days, Jain and the Prabhu came back and he said, "I think I forgot my gamcha here in the bathroom." So it was actually Jain and the Prabhu's gamcha and not Prabhupada's gamcha. And she said that she was in a dilemma, should I give the gamcha back or not? But then she said, even at that time I knew that he was a very pure devotee and is a very dear to Prabhupada. And he said, for some reason I didn't feel like giving the gamcha back. And she kept the gamcha with her. So I just asked her, "Can I take a look at the gamcha?" And she said, "Yes, you can." She had that gamcha. And it was a nice faded saffron pinkish kind of a gamcha. So that was one sweet exchange. And she said that Jain and the Prabhu like strawberry ice cream.
Yeah.
So so she would say that every time she would, whenever his disappearance day, she celebrates by making strawberry ice creams in his remembrance. So, and one of the sweetest thing was, what was comforting was when eventually Prahlad, when he was born and I transitioned out of that service, we drove, the first time we went to Gita Nagari with Prahlad, we drove. And I remember she was up, she knew that I was driving and coming. So it was late in the night and she was up waiting, and she had kept the prasadam aside. She was very excited to see Prahlad. So she said, "I want to see your son." So she was up, and she said, "How I was doing?" And I said, "Little sad that I can't do this service right now." And then she said, "But your first service is Prahlad, and you can always come to Radha Damodar and serve them when he grows up." Some of the way she said it, it was so sweet and very comforting. And since then, she's always, every year, she would make sure that she would spend time with me and make sure that I'm doing good, and just give her association. Those are some of the few things I remember.
The purpose, the meditation in arranging some time for something like this, knowing that most of you don't know these devotees, it's a few purposes, just sharing by making this arrangement. As time passes, time takes everything away. time I am, destroyer of all things. Time is going to take all of us away. And it's nice, even you may not know Sankirtan Prabhu, but as especially our brahmacharis, to appreciate, you know, the exaltedness of someone who was unassuming. Read through and you'll see, you know, why it was that he was a sannyas candidate and why it was that he was loved by everybody. These are two persons. I don't know anybody that had any hard feelings towards either of them because they're so completely lovable. Ideal devotees. The person who wrote this little section that I read out from is Giri Govardhan, and she reminded me of something that I said to her long ago. She was visiting Mother Kalini and she was asking some question, and my reply was, just hold on to her lotus feet. Just stay with Mother Kalini because she's going back to Godhead for sure. She's a pure devotee. And I've always had that very, very, very special regard. All these nice things about compassion and motherliness and things. But her devotion was so genuine and pure. Just genuine and pure, through and through. So surely she's, if anyone's going back to Godhead amongst Prabhupada's followers, she's going. So get her association, because she's going to Krishna. She's with Krishna. She was that kind of a saintly person. So when we have the opportunity to glorify saintly persons, remember them, even you don't know them, then it's beneficial, it's lifting, uplifting. It also means that, you know, amongst us, there are many persons that if we don't take the advantage to hear from and appreciate, when they're gone, it's too late. It's part of our Vaishnav culture to honor these exalted persons. And so it's just example setting. I wanted to do the same thing when Kurmarupa Prabhu left his body, because another amazing personality, someone who I had more association with than either of these two, but still his exaltedness. Similarly with Mother Kalini, he knew he was going to leave his body. He didn't want to be in the hospice. He wanted to be with the cows, because he loved the cows. That was the circumstance in which he left his body. Loving Krishna's cows. So these papers are for you to keep. I didn't read them all, just a little bit, one from each person. And at your leisure, I encourage you. Appreciate exalted Vaishnavas, Mother Kalini, and Sankirtan Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada.